The next case is Complete General Construction Company versus Ohio Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Bill Becker. I am the Assistant Attorney General representing the Ohio Department of Transportation this morning. If it pleases the Court, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. The issue in this case is whether or not Ohio should adopt a federal formula which estimates home office overhead and guarantees a recovery in each and every case. The answer to that question is no. Ohio should follow long-held contract principles which require proof of actual damages. At the heart of this case is the Eichle formula, which attempts to apportion home office overhead in a construction delay situation. First of all, Eichle derives its name from a federal case going back to the 1960s. It's actually a case decided by the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals. When we're talking about home office overhead, we're essentially talking about the contractor's cost of doing business, the contractor's cost of running their principal place of business.
Mr. Becker, we've read the briefs, which are well written. I'd like to know, you've argued it in your brief, but as I understand it, the federal courts and all except, I guess, one state court have adopted the Eichle formula. The federal formula is a little different, I guess, actually, than the accounting system is a little different. The federal system excludes some items of overhead. But why should Ohio be out of step with the rest of the country?
Actually, Your Honor, if I could reverse that for you, there is only a minority of states, I think some 10 states, that have even considered the use of Eichle. There is only one state that has gone as far as the Court of Appeals did in this case to make Eichle really the exclusive means of calculating home office overhead. And I'm glad you brought that up, because there's Complete General's brief is replete with federal cases, and there's a big distinction between the federal systems, if you will, use of the Eichle formula and the state systems, and you've touched on it. And that really centers on the fact that the federal government has a series of federal accounting regulations which actually, by code, by law, restrict what a contractor can put into the home office overhead pool.
Could we adopt a modified Eichle formula and follow the accounting follow what the federal standard is?
Your Honor, you might be able to, but it's going to require a lot of tinkering, not just with the home office overhead pool, but with other aspects of the formula. And let me touch on some of those. First of all, we mentioned these federal accounting regulations. In the federal system, a contractor is restricted in terms of what they can put in their home office overhead pool to use this formula. There is no such restriction as the Court of Appeals has adopted Eichle in this case. So, for example, a contractor can recover indirectly what it cannot recover directly. What am I talking about? I'm talking about attorney fees and expert fees, for example. And we see this time and time again in claims submitted by contractors. What really is at issue is what is hidden in this home office overhead pool. But that's not the only area that you'd have to tweak to make Eichle a fair formula or estimation for the calculation of damages. Eichle also assumes that a contractor has an optimal overhead at the particular point in time the project is delayed. So it does not consider a contractor, for example, who is simply too heavy or too fat home office overhead category. It also assumes that a contractor is running an optimal number of projects at the time that you're trying to apply the formula in a delay situation. So, for example, let's take a situation where a contractor actually has too many projects at a given time. In that situation, the delay in one project actually eases the contractor's burden. It doesn't make it more difficult or harder, and yet Eichle doesn't take into consideration that fact, Your Honor.
Does the Eichle formula, as applied by this Court of Appeals, pretty much abandon the need to mitigate?
Well, that's another very serious concern, Your Honor. The way the Court of Appeals has adopted the Eichle formula, it's going to make it virtually impossible for public or private owners, and let's make that clear here. This is a formula that, if you adopt it, is not going to apply just to the state and to political subdivisions, but it'll apply equally to private owners. And the fact of the matter is it's unfair because it's virtually impossible for an owner to rebut this formula. What do I mean by that? We had facts in this case that during the delay period, the contractor increased its revenues with other work by the tune of $10 million. It doubled its non-ODOT work during this delay period. It had so much work, it had to add a second estimator. And yet the Court of Appeals just ignored that. And so if you can't prove in that situation
Interestingly, Mr. Becker, the Court of Appeals seemed to say that the argument about that is over as soon as the state has to admit that it did impose a 365-day delay.
That's right.
Delay. And the Court of Appeals said, that's a waiver. Any evidence that you put to the contrary doesn't work. I wondered if the state's position today is that does the state accept the Eichle, the analytical framework set forth for application of Eichle, that is, what suffices for a prima facie case, and what is the appropriate evidence to rebut for a contract or a political entity to rebut that? I can't tell for sure whether the state says it wasn't done here or wasn't properly applied here, or we don't like the Eichle analysis. Which would you have us?
Well, I would have you not adopt the Eichle formula for Ohio because of the things we were talking about at the very outset, the problems with the formula itself. But you're actually talking about the trigger mechanisms for Eichle. What are the circumstances that arise on a construction project where you may be considering the use of Eichle? And the Court of Appeals says this in their decision. They say it's now going to be virtually impossible for owners to rebut the Eichle formula. And that is wrong, and that is unfair. And the fact of the matter is, maybe they're right in what they have said, but that shouldn't be the result for Ohio. In other words,
they shifted from the Allstate, from the Royal Electric to Allstate. Those two cases they like better what was done in Allstate. The Court of Appeals.
Yes, absolutely. But really, at the heart of your question, Your Honor, is what Eichle allows. It allows the assumption of causation. Mm-hmm. We don't allow that in any other cases in Ohio, contract, tort, or otherwise. How does it allow the assumption of cases? It's its practical effect. It says that if you have a situation where a project's delayed, the contractor is on standby, as long as the contractor proves a delay, that really is the end of the game. You plug in Eichle and you get these damages and they're guaranteed.
More or less like a presumption. You know, they say these are presumable facts of life, that a business that's going to be stopped on a project and held in abeyance will suffer.
Right.
Unless you demonstrate that you haven't, unless the opposing party can demonstrate that indeed in this case those damages haven't been suffered either because the work's been replaced or it was not the state's fault, that sort of thing.
That's correct.
Doesn't strike me as entirely unreasonable that the causation is established by virtue of the extension period or the requirement to be on standby?
With all due respect, I would disagree. I don't think that is the situation. I think that, and again, it probably is more helpful to look at this in terms of revenues, because the theory of Eichle is that a contractor has a fixed amount of overhead, which is the same day in, day out. And if, in fact, you delay the contractor such that they're in a standby mode and they can't go elsewhere and pick up the revenues, then you should cover their fixed cost during that delay period. We don't fundamentally have a problem with that. I mean, we're not being unfair to contractors and saying that, hey, listen, if we do cause a delay and you're in a standby situation and we don't release you, yes, you're entitled to that home office overhead. The question really is, how are we going to go about calculating it? And what I suggest to you is that there is all kinds of problems with a formula that attempts to estimate those damages.
So how would you go about calculating
it? You'd go about calculating that, Your Honor, by actually having the contractor bring forward, through their accountants, bring forward financial information that shows what their actual overhead is. And as we started to say at the outset, you'd have to go in that overhead and find out what is, in fact, a legitimate, legally recoverable item. We don't pay attorney fees. We don't pay expert fees. We shouldn't pay entertainment expenses and contributions. If a contractor wants to operate their business that way, that's fine. But the overhead that we should be paying is the overhead that more directly relates to the particular project that's been delayed.
So that doesn't exactly sound like overhead. Okay. I mean, in the normal accounting practices, that's overhead as you would like to define it. And we've got to write something here, so how do we define what the measure of damages is if we don't accept ICLA?
The measure of damages, again, the contractor should come in and say, during this delay period, this was my overhead. Here are the actual categories of overhead. And I agree, and I don't mean to confuse the issue. You are correct, Justice Pfeiffer, that it is an indirect cost. It is not, home office overhead is an indirect cost. It's not, by comparison, a direct cost where you have people who are actually working on the project. So, yes, I mean, there is a legitimate home office overhead that should comprise legitimate cost to the particular owner. But as the federal system has recognized, that's not everything and anything. That's not contributions and donations. That's not entertainment expenses. That's not necessarily advertising. And it certainly isn't attorney fees or expert fees. So what should be allowed in...
You've just spouted off a laundry list that comes to mind. If we write this case the way you'd like it, do we have to go through and enumerate what's in and what's out? Because, I mean, I assume for tax purposes and every other kind of purpose you might imagine, all of that gets lumped together in categories. So you're saying in the general office overhead, some's in, some is out. So do we just send this case back somewhere and say, don't use ICLE, but figure out what's fair?
I think so. I mean, I think that the only issue presented...
Well, that's not much of a standard, is it?
Well, but the only issue presented to you really today is whether or not Ohio is going to do what the Court of Appeals did and adopt ICLE lock, stock, and barrel and make it some kind of absolute rule. I would suggest to you that's not where Ohio wants to be. I suggest to you that you have long-standing contract principles that you can go back to and say, this case, contractors shouldn't be treated any differently than any other plaintiff in any breach of contract case. You got to prove your actual damages. So if you got proof of those actual damages, we're going to recognize it. And you can still...
If they prove their actual damages, you want to offset those damages by work that they did on other projects during the delay.
Yes, Your Honor.
And... Is that fair? You caused a delay, They now must scramble around and start on other projects to keep money coming in, and you want to take advantage of that initiative in getting other work while the delay is in, and you want to deduct that from what you caused. That's not fair.
I think it's fair to the extent, Your Honor, that this contractor in this breach of contract situation has a duty to mitigate, as any other plaintiff does in any other breach of contract case. And if we can bring in evidence that they have, in fact, increased their revenue such that they've covered the cost of their home office overhead during the delay period, then we shouldn't be paying for that home office overhead. Again, it's a concept of mitigation.
And on the other hand, if a contractor wasn't able to get replacement work, then you would be required to pay.
And understand, Your Honor, ODOT did, in this case, pay over $182,000 in additional dollars to cover home office overhead. We're not coming before you to be unfair about this situation. In a delay situation caused by the owner, where there's this delay period and the contractor can't get away and replace that work, then certainly they're entitled to the home office overhead. The question presented today is, how are we going to go about calculating that? What I suggest to you is we should not use a federal formula which estimates that loss and guarantees, positively guarantees in each and every case a recovery. And with that, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
I presume that if all the federal courts follow the Likely test, the Chief Justice indicated that the vast majority of state courts have adopted it. Is that correct?
It's just the opposite, Your Honor. The majority is in the federal system.
That's what I thought.
And only 10 states in this country have considered Eichle. Only one, Connecticut, has gone as far as the Court of Appeals did.
So the majority of state courts do not follow the Eichle.
Only a minority has even considered it.
Do we know how many have considered it? I guess I may have misspoken. I guess that from the brief, I thought that it was a majority. But is it a majority of those who considered the Eichle have been presented the issue as we have been?
We found 10 state courts that even considered Eichle in the entire country.
And of the 10 that considered Eichle, how many have adopted Eichle or some version of Eichle?
Lock, Stock, and Barrel, one, just
one.
Like the Court of Appeals.
Well, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, what about a modified? No Lock, Stock, and Barrel, but just a lock, maybe.
A number of cases have done, frankly, what the Court of Appeals in this very state did. The Franklin County Court of Appeals did in Royal Electric and said it's an approach, but it's subject to cross-examination and trial like any other approach.
Is the Allstate case and Royal Electric, are they at war with each other?
They are, Your Honor. Well, actually, the Franklin County Court of Appeals is at war with itself between Royal and this case.
That was my next question, because I had trouble understanding the Court of Appeals' opinion. It certainly said that they liked the Royal Electric rule for a while, and that's really what you're arguing. You're arguing Royal Electric, is that correct?
Well, I'd like to see Eichle put aside completely by this court.
Royal Electric reaches the compromise, doesn't it?
Royal Electric does, in fact, reach a compromise and says it's an approach, and you're subject to go at it at trial and cross-examination and otherwise.
And what's wrong with that?
Just the very things that we pointed out in terms of what's wrong with the formula and where we are right now, it's almost irrebuttable. Where we're at right now is that a contractor comes in and says, I have a delay. They've made it so difficult for us to prove that there was replacement work or replacement revenue that it's almost automatic.
It is irrebuttable under Allstate, isn't it?
Yes.
It's absolute. Is that right?
Yeah, except understand, too, the federal system comes in and tweaks the formula greatly in terms of what it allows to be put in the formula. And the old adage is, garbage in, garbage out. We have no restrictions on that in Ohio.
Is this complete general construction case at war with Royal Electric?
Yes.
Did they overrule Royal Electric?
They don't say that they did that, but certainly you can read it, and I think they did.
Well, they do say we think Allstate's the better approach.
Better approach.
It's just close, yeah.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Ernest.
You, Mr. Becker. Mr. Curry.
Chief Justice Moyer, the other justices of the court, good morning. My name is Mike Curry. I'm here on behalf of Complete General Construction Company. The Ikley formula has been developed by the preeminent court on contract cases in the country. The Federal Circuit Court handles all contract and construction cases that the federal government sees. Ikley, in its 30-plus year history, has been evaluated, and reevaluated by the Federal Circuit Court.
But why should, in Ohio, because we don't always go with what the feds like us to go with, but why should in Ohio a contractor have a different standard than any other person in breach of contract? Everyone else in a breach of contract has to prove their damages, has to mitigate. Why do we create some sort of exception for construction and give them a pass that we don't give anybody else in a contract case?
Well, Justice Stratton, I disagree with the premise that this changes the fundamental burden of proof that a contractor has. I don't think he is afforded any specific benefit. The Ikley formula simply has evolved to allow a mechanism. All this is a formula to utilize to demonstrate home office overhead.
Do you agree with the Court of Appeals that it's an almost impossible to rebut formula? I mean, they conceded that in their opinion. It's almost impossible to rebut under the way the formula works.
It is impossible to rebut only after it is already established that there was a delay on the project, that the owner was responsible for the delay, and that the contractor was forced to be on standby because the duration of the delay was uncertain. And I think what's lost here, the nexus that one has to understand in order to understand Ikley, is the nexus between home office overhead expense and the resources that the contractor has allocated to that specific job. The idea that because the contractor has other revenue has nothing to do with the calculation of home office overhead. The issue is when the contractor bids the job, and frankly, the complete general case is the perfect primer on Ikley. It was a delay caused by the owner, which is undisputed. So complete general planned to be on this job for 535 days. They had that much overhead built into their contract price. The only way they recover that is by the resources that are allocated to that specific job, meaning their crew and their equipment, generating that revenue. If that set of resources is tied up on this job for an additional year, those resources can't go out and generate more revenue to make up for the home office overhead that is being lost.
Should they be entitled then to show that, in fact, that wasn't the case? That crew, that equipment was out on another job during this delay.
Absolutely, and that is the issue of replacement work. That is what Altmaier dealt with. That is what Allstate Boiler deals with.
But on the active form, they can't even show that.
Certainly they can. The owner has the ability to show that the contractor went out and got replacement work. And if you read Allstate and read Altmaier, replacement work is defined by being able to take those resources that were dedicated to that job and move them somewhere else to generate revenue.
Didn't that happen here?
No, that did not happen here. Complete General mobilized its equipment to this job.
You left the equipment all parked on that job for a full year, 500 days, whatever it was, doing nothing while you were busy with all your other equipment at every other job.
No, Your Honor, that is not what happened. That's not what the evidence shows. The equipment was not simply parked on the job. There was work going on the job, but there were four critical areas of work that the contractor could do no work in for a year that ended up delaying the ultimate completion of the job by that long. The equipment was mobilized to the site. It was there. It could not be removed. There's ample testimony in the record that the equipment is not easily moved. This is large equipment. You have to get permits. You can't simply pick it up and take it someplace else. Moreover, if you do take it somewhere else, you have to know when you're going to bring it back. That gets to the whole issue of the uncertain period of delay. ODOT has the ability to avoid Ikley completely. They have the option to simply say, come back in 6 months, come back in a year. As soon as they define that time period of delay, under Allstate, Altmaier, Wickham, every Federal Circuit case, Ikley goes out the window because there is no longer an uncertain period of delay and they are by definition not on standby. Now, the same analysis applies to this issue of, I disagree with the premise that this is strictly a federally applied standard. It's not. Every state court that has considered the use of Ikley, Every single one, with the exception of one, has approved its use. No, have they said this is the only way, like the court in Wickham did with the Federal Circuit? No, they've said, but this is an acceptable means. ODOT's own expert witness in this case testified that Eichle is an acceptable means of calculating home office overhead. If ODOT wishes to challenge some item that is in that general and administrative overhead pool that the contractor has, whether it be travel and entertainment, legal fees, they have the ability to do that at the trial court level, and in this case, they in fact did that. Their expert said these things should not be in the overhead pool, and under Eichle, here is my different calculation. The trial court chose not to find that credible and chose to believe Complete General's expert. ODOT has the ability to argue those points, did so in this case.
But would that same proof held up in federal court? Because ODOT tells us the federal regulations by law say you can't include those.
The only difference between the federal venue and the state venue with respect to Eichle is that the federal acquisition regulations do specifically say these are things that you cannot include in your home office overhead for purposes of a home office overhead calculation. ODOT has the ability to do that. Every 2 years, they publish the construction material specifications, which contain very similar provisions. If they wish to, by regulation, delete those items, they have the ability to do that. Now, the Federal Circuit has spent 30 years refining Eichle.
Do we need an Eichle? I realize that it has been accepted and perhaps helpful in the federal jurisdictions, but what about, do we need that here? Why wouldn't normal contract principles of proving damages and rebuttal of that?
Justice Cook,
wouldn't that handle the problem or not?
It would not. The genesis of Eichle was the very fact that in a delayed construction project context, it is virtually impossible for a contractor to go back and piece out those items of its rent, its utility bills, its payroll department, its insurance, and say this much of it is on this job because it's delayed. That is why the Eichle formula was developed, to try and apportion that overhead among all of the contracts. And that is what the Federal Circuit has struggled with. People have come up with alternative ways of proving it, and the Federal Circuit finally said in 1994 in Wickham, enough is enough. After 30 years, we've decided that Eichle is the best way to allocate home office overhead for delay.
Does it save time and expense as well as answer the question of uncertainty?
Yes, it does. Both on the project, so the project administrators know what they're doing with on both sides, owner and contractor side, and in the court system. I mean, if we're going to start bringing in CPAs to prove that this increment of our insurance costs for the home office is attributable to this job and this much delay, it really becomes unwieldy.
Counsel, it seems to me that the formula is there to simplify proof and the cost of litigation. Would that be the main purpose of the formula?
Yes, I believe that is what the Federal Circuit struggled with since the first Eichle decision 30-plus years ago.
In a case where there is delay, what are the rules with respect to where you get to the point where the owner acknowledges delay and it's their fault? Are costs of litigation for the contractor recoverable in that litigation or not?
No, not directly. To the extent
would that be a reasonable alternative if the state says we don't want this recognized formula used, to say to the state, okay, if you go off the formula, then if it's established that the delay is the fault of the state. And if there is a delay, and you want to go off the formula in terms of proof, then you bear the contractor's cost of litigating this issue.
That would certainly be an option.
That's an extension of what we have here, though.
I'm not sure I understand how it's an extension. What's in the contractor's general and administrative expenses are whatever legal fees were incurred during the contract period. It has nothing to do with the legal fees being incurred.
That's your normal cost of consult.
Yeah, it's in your general administrative expense. It's in the formula.
Does the use of IKLE and the knowledge of both parties that IKLE will be used in any delay, does that cause the state to make sure the delays are shorter or minimum or not at all?
Well, I think not only IKLE, but also all the direct costs that are associated with delaying a project are a motivation to the state to, or any public owner, to try and minimize the effect of the delay, most certainly. The direct costs, obviously, were paid here. What we're arguing about and what's been reserved is essentially the home office overhead and the equipment costs. And if I might, I need to talk about the equipment costs because the courts below, their approach to this, in our view, is clearly leads to an absurd result. Complete General had about $3 million worth of equipment on this job. They bid to have that on the job for 535 days. Because of ODOT-caused delays, that $3 million spread of equipment was, in fact, on the job for an extra year. Now, they have not been paid $1 for having that equipment tied up on that job for that period of time. In contrast, ODOT agreed to pay for the escalation in the wages for the operators of that equipment. So on the one hand, they're paying for the labor increase that was caused by the delay, but not for the very equipment that those people were operating. Now, the lower court's analysis was completely off the mark. The trial court said that the plaintiff did not produce evidence sufficient to establish that but for the delays on the project, plaintiff would have used its equipment on another job. That was not Complete General's claim. Complete General's claim was not that I can't use it someplace else. It is the fact that it is tied up on this project. The court then said that as a general rule, courts require a greater degree of certainty where damages are sought for the loss of business opportunity. This was not a loss of business opportunity claim. It was pay us for the equipment that we have had on your site for a year because you delayed it. And what the court overlooked and what the Court of Appeals overlooked is the fact that the contract specifically provides that in the event the owner delays the contractor, he is entitled to be paid for that equipment. It's in the spec book, and neither the trial court nor the Court of Appeals dealt with it. And specifically, I'd refer the court to Section 108.031, that says in the event the owner delays the job, the contractor may be compensated for added expense not included, including anticipated profits for any reasonable delay. And then
that's with the right way to measure that. I assume what happened here is fairly typical, that ODOT, rather than saying, look, we've messed up these bridge designs, let's just push this thing back for a year and not start it as soon, that typically the goal would be, let's get this done. You're going to be drug out on your completion date, but get out there and do what you can be doing. Isn't that typically what happens in these kind of things?
Yes, it is.
And with respect to equipment, then, I assume some equipment, you know, if the delays of bridge work, perhaps your earth movers and a number of those things can get in and get out and get on their way. So you're not arguing that all of the equipment that was initially assigned to this job necessarily you're owed for an extra year. It would be that equipment that necessarily has to stay at the job site until all the work's done.
Absolutely, Justice Pfeiffer. And let me explain exactly what Complete General did.
And this may be owned equipment or leased equipment, I assume.
Right. In this circumstance, it was all owned equipment. But what Complete General did was go and use ODOT's daily reports, their own records, and identify each piece of equipment that was actually on the job site. This isn't some phantom amount of equipment. It is what was there for the period of extension, not during the project, only after the extension, and ask for the rental rates using the ODOT-approved methodology for calculating that claim. And I would refer the court to Mr. Lau's testimony, the ODOT inspector on the job at page, starting at page 1326 of the transcript, wherein Mr. Lau says, yes, we had these delays. We met with the contractor to figure out how to resequence the work. They then proceeded with the work, and that there was no or very minimal idle equipment on the job during that period of time. So the equipment that was identified as being on the job by ODOT's own records and being testified about by Mr. Lau was in fact in use during that entire one-year extension period. And Complete General has not been paid $1 for that work or for the use of that equipment.
There's been a lot said about the formula and about what's the proper way to go about it. You said one thing that was really very interesting to me that I think maybe if I were writing this case, I might consider. You said that ODOT has within its power to stop the Eichler formula from running simply by saying, at the end of 6 months, we're ready to go.
Correct.
Okay. If that's the case, what happens if they're not ready at the end of 6 months? We start over on another Eichler formula.
Then you would theoretically start over on another Eichler, unless they say, okay, now we're not ready. It's going to be 3 more months. If you read Satellite Electric, Melco Marine,
but you're out the Oakley formula during the 6 months and the 3 month extension, you're saying. Even if they say it will be in 3 months.
No, once the owner chooses, let's just assume the owner determines that there's going to be a delay. They've got a design problem.
Yeah.
If they go to the contractor and say, we have a design problem, you're hereby ordered to suspend work, we want you to come back at some defined point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Under all of the case law, Eichler has no application because the contractor is no longer on standby. He's authorized at that point to pick his equipment up and go somewhere else and generate revenue with that equipment to cover the overhead.
Is it your contention that they didn't say that and therefore you are obligated to have it available for use at any time they said we're ready to go?
On this particular project, that's exactly right. No one knew how long the design delay was going to take.
But you are saying that the Eichler formula could be negated, set aside, simply by them saying, we know we haven't designed these bridges right. It's going to take us a period of time. We'll let you know when we want you to come back.
Yes, Justice Douglas. If you read the Melco Marine decision that Mr. Becker cited in his brief, that's exactly what it says. In fact, they disallowed a portion of the Eichler claim in that case because the owner did just that. They said the delay is going to be this defined period of time. Come back then. And at that point, Eichler no longer has any application. ODOT chose not to do this because they didn't know how long the design delay was going to be either.
Mr. Curry, let me take you back to the idle equipment. As I understand it, do you agree with the trial court's determination of damages on that? Did the trial court have used the DataQuest Blue Book to determine the rental value of the equipment?
Yes.
And the Court of Appeals reversed that. That's your argument. They found their own method of determining damages.
Well, the Court of Appeals simply determined, well, we don't find any substantive proof that there was any causation between the delay and the idle equipment. Mr. Lau testified, yes, there was idle equipment. I don't agree that there was a lot of it, but yes, it was idle. So I think that the Court of Appeals decision on that point is against the manifest weight of the evidence. ODOT admitted that there was idle equipment. Idle equipment, I mean, the CMS, again, specifically addresses that issue and says you're entitled to be paid for idle equipment at half of the rental rate.
Well,
and that's exactly what was calculated.
Does it address what I assume realistically happened out here and would ordinarily happen if ODOT or the owner says, you know, we realize we've got these delays and it's our fault, but we want to get work underway, so stay with this job and do everything, work around this problem, this design problem, which is what happened here.
Correct.
I assume you have some equipment that's utilized but underutilized. In other words, if there hadn't been a design problem, that equipment would have been getting a good deal more use in the time frame that we're talking about. Is that compensable as you litigate these things, or is that just something the contractor eats?
Typically, that is a claim that is compensable, and it is compensable under the construction material.
So there's a formula dealing with that?
There's no formula that deals with that loss of, that's typically called a loss of productivity claim.
Yeah.
And you use what's called a measured mile analysis, and it gets quite complex. And Complete General elected not to pursue that type of claim in favor of simply saying, we have these pieces that we know were absolutely idled because of this, pay us for that, and pay us for the extra year that we had to have the equipment.
In this
here.
Case, your client opted just not to make that claim. It could have if they'd wanted to pursue it.
That's correct. In some sense, the claim is made in that lack of productivity is what resulted in all the work being performed in that final year of extension. Because the work couldn't be done back here, the equipment is out there for an additional year performing the work. And Complete General believes under the contract terms that it's entitled to be paid for that equipment.
You've used your time, Mr. Curry.
Thank you, Chief Justice Moyer.
Thank you. Mr. Becker, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I would leave you with this thought. Do not carve out an exception from long-established breach of contract principles just for contractors in delay situations. Do not do that simply because it's easier, and do not do that because it's unfair to use a formula to estimate damages which guarantees recovery in each and every case.
Yeah, but you have control over this. The thing I got concerned about is when you said, look, you're not just fooling around here with the public's case. It's also involving, or maybe he did, all private contracts with the IP formula. Is it true that the owner has within its sole jurisdiction and power to say, there's going to be a delay, go away, and come back another day, and terminate the IP formula?
That's what the federal courts have said, and, Your Honor, that's a triggering mechanism to home office overhead. It does not answer the question of whether you should use Eichle to calculate it. It really is a mitigation question. And what the federal courts have said is if the owner can say to the contractor, I want you back in 6 months, that's good enough for the contractor to go out and during that 6 months cover that home office overhead another way. But do not be confused. That does not answer the question of whether Eichle is a good idea to calculate home office overhead.
Counsel, your light's on, but I want to come back to the question I asked opposing counsel, and that is, it appears to me that Eichle is there for use as a well-developed and studied formula that at least some courts think is a way to shortcut the cost of litigation of these issues, the kinds of issues that you want to spar about over whether or not they should be included or not. If such a formula is available and we take your invitation to reject that, shouldn't we consider then shifting some of the burden of litigation costs incurred by the contractor when it's the owner's fault to the owner?
Let me answer that in two ways. One, to just correct the statement a little bit, and that is when you say it's well recognized, it's well recognized by the federal government, which has passed a lot of law dealing with what
can go into
the formula.
My question just is,
okay,
the formula
now
appears to save litigation costs.
Well, I don't know how much litigation costs it saves or how much easier it makes it, but I'll tell you, if you go down that path, I mean, I think you're opening up a door. I don't know how you would do that. I don't know how you would change the American rule and start awarding attorney fees just because an owner tries to challenge the use of Eichle in a courtroom. And with all due respect, Eichle doesn't make things any easier in construction delay cases. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.